Yeah, it's been interesting to observe it because I mean there was a I suppose a little bit of trepidation on the part of the UFC earlier in the year when they weren't really sure if they were going to do a show in Dublin in 2015 because they knew they wouldn't really have Conor McGregor for it. So they, you know, they weren't quite sure if the appetite was there for a UFC show in Dublin without Conor McGregor. But you know, they went with it in the end, and they were kind of worried about the ticket sales. And I think they were very relieved when, you know, they were sold out in 60 seconds. Mm. So that's a good sign from their point of view in terms of the value of the brand itself in Ireland now, as opposed to just the value of Conor McGregor as a personality. But yeah, I mean, after that, when, you know, when the tickets sold out so quickly, I kind of expected the hype to be a little bit more intense by now. But it's been pretty quiet so far in the week, you know. But you know, I think it's gonna build up now as we get closer to the show. And yeah, I mean, the Duffy connection to Conor McGregor is obviously a big angle here. But you know, you have to take this fight in its own rights as well, and on its own merits. Duffy versus Dustin Poirier is a really big fight in the lightweight division. Listening to Joe Rogan during the week mentioning that, you know, the prize for the winner here could be a number one contender fight, you know, which is massive for both of those guys when you consider that, you know, just a year ago, Poirier was coming off a huge loss to McGregor that, you know, set him right back in the featherweight division. But coming up to lightweight, he's, you know, he's looked really good. He's got two wins so far, and it looks like a more natural division for him. And of course, Duffy has made massive progress as well. And if he can break into those top 15 rankings in just his third UFC fight, you're looking at Poirier. Poirier is currently ranked 13th. He's ahead of the likes of Nate Diaz and Jim Miller. I mean, if Duffy can catapult himself into that position, that's a massive reward for him. And so, you know, that makes this a massive fight. And therefore, I think, you know, people should be really excited for this one.
Now, it's just idle speculation on my part, but it looks to me as if Duffy's being fast-tracked to superstardom by the UFC as they kind of eye up a potential rematch between him and Conor McGregor.
Yeah, it's hard to get away from that, to be honest. I mean, my understanding is that Joe Silva and Sean Shelby, the UFC matchmakers, weren't massively keen on Duffy having this fight this soon into his career. But I believe it was Dana White was the one who was pushing for Duffy to headline this card and against an opponent of the caliber of Dustin Poirier. I guess realizing that if Duffy can beat Poirier, then it does put him into the title picture, well, certainly on the edges of it in the lightweight division. And if McGregor is going to make that inevitable move up to 155 in 2016, then, you know, maybe Duffy's the ideal man to welcome him to the division. I mean, there's certainly no shortage of guys queuing up to fight McGregor, either at 145 or 155. But, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, at the end of the day, the UFC is a business, and they're going to, their priority is to make fights that are going to sell. And McGregor has certainly been adding fuel to that fire as well recently. He's been talking a little bit about Duffy in the media. So, yeah, that's a fight that people have become a lot more interested in, again, recently since Duffy went into the UFC and the whole connection there with their fight in Cork in 2010. So, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that that's a fight that the UFC are pushing towards somewhere down the line. But I guess McGregor has a few other jobs to do before then as well.
He certainly does. Just looking ahead to the fight, I can't actually wait for it. It's going to be an absolute cracker, but there's no doubting that Duffy has all the skills to beat Dustin on Saturday.
Yeah, that seems to be the general consensus, which is a huge vote of confidence for Duffy that, you know, two fights into his UFC career, people are pitting him as a strong favourite against a guy like Poirier. I think this is Poirier's 16th fight in the UFC, and you have to take into account as well that he fought in WEC before that. So he's a huge veteran of the sport, even though he's actually a year younger than Duffy. So, yeah, there's a whole lot at stake here for Duffy. And the fight itself, it should just be an absolute cracker. Both guys are really well-rounded. I mean, we've seen from Duffy that he can do it all. You know, he showed in his fight against Ivan George the last time out that he's got fantastic jiu-jitsu, taken down, you know, and had him in his guard and just locks on a beautiful triangle. And, of course, his boxing has come on leaps and bounds since he took a couple of years off to go 7-0 as a professional boxer. So he really is the kind of the complete mixed martial artist from what we've seen so far. And I think, you know, Poirier will kind of argue that he's in that league as well in terms of how well-rounded he is. And, you know, I was speaking to Norman Park recently and he was kind of giving his prediction for the fight. And he mentioned that he thinks Poirier has a weak chin, you know, which is something that has probably kind of emerged from that loss to McGregor. And I think that chin, if it is weak, it's certainly going to be tested by Duffy on Saturday night. And yeah, it's really hard to call this one, to be honest. I mean, I suppose maybe it's patriotism more than anything else pushing us towards Duffy, but yeah, he certainly seems to have the skills to win this one. But I mean, you can't underestimate a guy like Poirier, even just his experience. You know, I don't think he'll be he'll be daunted by this. I think, you know, maybe there was a bit of psychological weakness to his game when he went in to fight McGregor, but I don't think there will be this time. I think he'll see this as, I guess, not really a chance for revenge, but certainly a way to kind of strike back at the Irish fans who gave him such a hard time last year when he fought McGregor. So it's a really tough one to call, but I guess you would slightly veer towards Duffy to maybe get a stoppage in the later rounds, I think.
Yeah, really looking forward to that one. Unfortunately, this event lost a cracker of a co-main between Stipe Miocic and Ben Rothwell. That's been replaced by Paddy Houlihan and Lewis Smoker. We had Paddy on the show a couple of weeks back, and he says he saw holes in Smoker's game the size of craters. We last saw Smoker against Neil Seary, but Paddy's certainly very confident heading into this one.
He is, yeah, and it's such a huge opportunity for him when you take into account how far he's come in such a short space of time as well. You know, just over a year ago when that previous UFC Dublin event happened, Paddy was the very first fight in the prelims, and now here he is, he's fighting in the co-main event, and it's great credit due to him. You know, he's picked up some really good wins. He's 3-1 in the UFC now, and he's just got such a colourful personality that, you know, he's the kind of guy that the UFC can really market well in Ireland. But this is definitely his biggest test so far. You know, Smoker, I thought, looked really, really good against Neil Seary in Vegas back in July. He's he's a big prospect. He's still quite young. His grappling is excellent, but, you know, I think that's probably Paddy's strength as well. So, you know, I guess the assumption would be that this is going to be a grappling affair. But sometimes when you get guys clashing like that in one discipline, it can end up going the opposite way. So maybe it'll be a stand-up fight. And if it is, I think Paddy will probably fancy himself, because Smoker showed in that fight against Seary, you know, he got clipped quite a lot. And, you know, Seary probably had a couple of chances to put him away in that fight. So, yeah, maybe Smoker might have the edge in terms of the grappling. It might suit Paddy to keep this one standing a little bit more. But it's, you know, so far in the flyweight division, Paddy has used his reach advantage and his size advantage quite a lot. You know, he's a very, very big flyweight. But just looking at Smoker just kind of hanging around the Gibson Hotel in Dublin this week, where the fighters are based, you know, he's not a small flyweight either. He's quite rangy. So this is a real test for Paddy. And I think if it's one he can pass, it's definitely a statement from his point of view that he can make an impact in the rankings at 125. Because I think if he wins this one, he'll be on a 3-fight win streak. And the only person in the flyweight division with a longer streak than that, apart from Demetrius Johnson, obviously, is Dennis Bermudez. You know, so Paddy will feel that a win here will really put him in the picture there as well.
Just looking at the rest of the card, and I suppose of all the Irish fighters on it, the man with the most pressure on his shoulders is Cathal Pendred. I mean, there's talk of him being in danger of being cut if he loses this fight against Tom Breeze.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to think from Carl's point of view, you know, he's 4-1, and that even if he does lose this one, that, you know, the four previous wins should kind of give him a bit of leeway from the UFC's point of view. But there's been a lot of cuts to that UFC roster over the last few days. I mean, there's talks that there's going to be 50 overall this week, which is a huge chunk of the roster. It's just over 500 fighters there at the moment. And I just don't think they're doing as many shows as they probably plan to at the moment. And it's just not, there's not fights there for guys. So that's why they're having to trim the roster and be a little bit more ruthless when it comes to cutting guys. And yeah, you know, Cathal, if it's two losses on the bounce, and, you know, take into account as well the fact that he hasn't been hugely impressive even in the fights that he won, maybe he is in danger, you know. And I guess it probably helps that he's part of this whole Irish scene at the moment that the UFC are so keen on, and maybe that will buy him a little bit of leniency. But certainly, if he can't get the win here, he certainly needs to put in a performance. You know, Tom Breeze isn't going to be an easy fight for him. Breeze is a massively highly regarded prospect in the UK. He's training over in Canada with Joseph Duffy and Faraz Ahabi and all the guys at TriStar. So this is a chance for him to make a huge statement as well. And, you know, we've seen from Pendred, whatever about his limitations when it comes to striking and stuff like that, he is absolutely unbelievably tough. And to put him away in Dublin is going to be very, very, very hard for Tom Breeze. And, you know, and to beat him by decision in Dublin as well is going to be tough, because Pendred has shown that he can grind out those wins. So it's a huge challenge for Breeze to beat Pendred. And if he can get it, it's a massive scalp. But I think it's one of those weird situations from Pendred's point of view where almost the performance is more important than the result, I think.
Elsewhere, Neil Seary, we all love us some Neil Seary. He's back in action, looking to bounce back from that defeat to Lewis Smoker, as we mentioned. He's facing John De Los Reyes, who I have to admit I don't know a whole lot about.
Yeah, he's kind of an unknown quantity, but you know, the signs are good. I think in one of his interviews this week, he mentioned that all he wants to do is come over here and punch somebody, and I think that's sort of Neil Seary's outlook as well. So I don't think you're going to see two guys holding back in that one. You know, Seary, win or lose, he always entertains. If you look back at it, all of his fights in the UFC so far, they've all been absolute crackers. So So that's definitely going to be a fight to watch. And you know, he's been unlucky actually, Siri, to miss out on a couple of fight and a night bonuses, in my opinion. So hopefully he can get a nice little bonus and an extra 50 grand for himself in this one. And yeah, I think that'll be one of those ones that's probably kind of flying under the radar, but you know, could stand out as a definite fighter and a contender.
Yeah, and Aisling Daly in action as well this week. Her first proper UFC bout didn't go the way she planned against Ronda Marcos, but she'll be looking to turn that around in front of her home fans this weekend.
Yeah, and by all accounts, she's put in a fantastic camp. Just speaking to John Kavanagh, you know, Ash has had a lot of troubles, you know, with her, I suppose, her psychological outlook on the game. You know, she's battled anxiety and depression. It's something she spoke to ourselves at the 42 about in an article last week. And, you know, she's been really open about that and she's confronted it. And, you know, she really seems to be in a good place for this fight. She's actually had a 16-week training camp for this because she was so keen to fight in Dublin after missing out last year when she was in the Ultimate Fighter house. So she's in straight into training camp for this one. And, you know, all the indications are good. She's, you know, she's been putting in the work. And, you know, as John Kavanagh said to us, you know, if Ash loses this fight, it's just because she'll have been beaten by a better opponent. She could not possibly be any better prepared. Eric Almeida, again, somewhat of an unknown quantity. I think this is her second UFC fight, so she's pretty inexperienced compared to Ash. You know, Ash has had like maybe 25 fights in her career so far. So you would imagine that, you know, Ash should get the result here. And again, if she doesn't, I mean, that's the second loss on the trot for her as well. So she could be in trouble, but you know, I think we're going to see the best of her this weekend, and I would expect her to get a win.
Yeah, looking forward to that. And just throwing off the Irish fighters, Norman Park, who initially announced that he was going to be in the co-main event, got busted down not long after. What happened there?
Yeah, nobody's really quite sure because you know, after you mentioned earlier on the Miocic-Rothwell fight fell through, the UFC announced by their own social media that it was going to be Norman Park. And I think Dana White must have probably wasn't consulted about that or something, because he came out then 24 hours afterwards and said Paddy Hoolan was going to be the co-main, which, let's be honest, I don't think anybody would argue with that. You know, Norman Park is a lot more experience, I guess, in the UFC so far than Paddy. This is, I think, his eighth fight in the UFC. So, you know, he's popular in his own right, and I'm sure he'll bring a massive crowd down from Northern Ireland as well for this one. But Paddy is certainly, I suppose, more deserving of the co-main event slot. He's coming in off two wins, whereas Norman's off two losses. And again, going back to that theme of guys being cut, you know, Norman, in fairness to him, those two defeats were split decisions and very, very tight. So, you know, if he loses this one and is cut, it'll be really kind of harsh on him as well. But, you know, the UFC is a business. They're in the business of, you know, earning money and making sure that the right guys are being pushed up the division. So they're not going to be too sympathetic to Norman's plight if he doesn't put on a performance. And of course, he's fighting Reza Madadi, who's back in the UFC after a few years and a 14-month stint in prison. So I'm sure he's going to be pretty determined to make a statement himself as well.
Excellent, Paul. Well, looking forward to UFC Dublin on this coming Saturday night. For now, thanks very much indeed for talking to us, Paul.
Anytime, Rory. Cheers.